as you know, we have for 16 months been trying to raise $2.5 million for the paying off of Hiles Anderson College. This church, in the last, Doc, how long have you been here? 6 years. In the last 7 years, this church has, well, we have a rescue mission, an elementary school, one as nice as anybody's, a high school, both the elementary school, the elementary school is longer than a football field, completely carpeted. We have, I guess, about 800 students in our school this year. We have a high school, two buildings, each building about the length of a football field, and each building is carpeted throughout. Nice gymnasium, not the prettiest of any high school in the area. Far and away, not the worst. I'd say at least in the upper 50% as far as gymnasium, dressing room facilities are concerned. We have what I think is the most beautiful college campus that I know of anywhere in the world. Our facilities are certainly, in the college, even bordering on luxury. Not in the dormitories, young ladies, of course. anyway, we own and operate the cemetery. We now own over $12 million in property valuation. Our budget per year for all of our ministries here now is nearing $5 million a year. We take in more money every week than we took in an entire year in 1959. Now, it's a big work. And we've been trying for 16 months to raise $2.5 million. Our people have given and given and given. Not to this preacher. I got a letter the other day from a church in Michigan, 250 members, who want me to recommend a pastor. I was very interested to find that his salary is more than mine. And 250 members. The average on Sunday night about what we have in the choir tonight in attendance. Don't misunderstand me. My folks would pay me anything I ask for. Is that right? Did you believe $500,000? But it's because I refuse to take a big salary. But our folks have given and given. Sacrificed, and have been glad to do it, because we now have our own school system where at the age of 4, a child can enroll in pre-kindergarten and stay in our own school system until he graduates with a master's degree from Hiles Anderson College. We have built building after building. This auditorium in which you're sitting tonight, no doubt about it, as the largest Sunday night attendance of any church in the world. And this is one of the three largest auditoriums, church auditoriums, I understand, in the world. Now, God's been good to us, but there's a battle going on in this area against our work. No, I don't mean that people are attacking us. I don't mean that there's a conspiracy on the part of the Presbyterians or the Methodists or the Catholics or the Nazarenes or the Assembly of God or other Baptist churches. I don't mean that. Well, many folks don't agree with our stand, but I do not know of any other than verbal criticism, and And I think that is minimal considering the stand we take. But there's a satanic attack on this church, the lack of which I've never seen in my entire life on a church. It's mighty easy for us to get discouraged. But I don't want us to. I want us to heed the admonition of our Lord to Joshua, who said, "Be strong and of a good courage." When Moses sent the spies to the land of Canaan to see over the promised land, as they went, Moses said to the 12 spies, "Be strong and of good courage." When Moses became the leader of the 3.5 million Jews, he got them all together and he said, "Be strong and of good courage." When Joshua was chosen to succeed Moses, Moses spoke to Joshua, his successor, a young man, and said, "Joshua, God is giving you my mantle." He said, "Be strong and of good courage." When God spoke to Joshua and announced to Joshua that he was going to be Moses' successor and lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God himself spoke to Joshua and said, "Joshua, be strong and of good courage." When Ezra was rebuilding the house of God after the captivity in Babylon, he gathered all the people together and he said, "Be strong and of good courage." Twice David said in the Psalms to his people, "Be strong and of good courage." Tonight I want to encourage you, admonish you, in these days when, and by the way, you mark it down, brother, the next 2 months, the devil is going to continue to launch every weapon he has in his arsenal against this church. I've never seen in my life such obvious satanic opposition. You can almost feel it in the atmosphere. But the thing you told me, when he's been around the country trying to raise money in these churches, that when he preaches, everything is fine. When he starts to mention Hiles Anderson College and its needs, you can just feel the devil moving in. And the pastors have been amazed at things that start happening when Hiles Anderson College is mentioned. They used to wonder, why would there be satanic opposition against Hiles Anderson College? I'll tell you why. The devil doesn't want a college that believes in patriotism and decency and haircuts and decent length skirts and obedience and respect for authority and obeying the laws and fight such things as liquor and dope and all the other enemies of decency and purity and morality. The devil doesn't want that in America, and he'll do everything he can, bless God, to see to it that it doesn't succeed. But thank God the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, don't be surprised, brother. Don't be surprised. I mean, you're in the big leagues now. You're not playing at Wenatchee. You're playing for the Cubs. I'm sorry. You're in the big league. The Reds. Let me just tell you a few things. Let me just add it all up, let you hear what they are. We've had more trouble with the air conditioner since we've started this campaign than any other time in our history, and we've had some air conditioning troubles in our history. More problems. The devil has fought more to try to take this voice through the air conditioning in this building and to put you to sleep or freeze you to death during this campaign than our church has ever known. We've had more trouble with lights going out, PA equipment going out, microphones not working in the last few months than our church has ever known. We've had more vandalism than our church has ever seen. And since this all started now, we've had to put guards around this building all night. For the first time, we've had to put guards in the last 2 or 3 weeks, had to put guards around the youth center all night. We have to have guards around the speaker building over here all night, every night. We've had more vandalism than we've had ever or total in the history of our church. We had more legal problems. Not long ago, over here on the other side of Seaford Building, we had some young people vandalizing our youth buses. One of our mechanics told a fellow who works at a business place over there, he told him, he said, would you keep your eyes, please, on our buses and try to keep folks away? This man who works over there saw someone around our buses. He went out to get them, send them off, chase them off. I think a teenage boy. At least he was a young lad. The boy began to run. This fellow pursued him. Works at a business place. Not a member of our church. He pursued him. The boy tried to get away. A train was on the track, sitting still over here on the track, Willow Court, between here and Turner Park. The boy crawled under the train. When he did, the train started and severed his arm. And now there's a lawsuit against our church. Why? I don't know. Because one of our mechanics told a business place over there to watch our buses. I think for $2.5 million. I have no doubt but that there's nowhere in the world we could lose such a lawsuit. But we have to go to court. We have to have a lawyer. Have to pay legal fees. We had some problems a few days ago. All this has happened in the last month. Some of the bus kids, teenagers, running off down the Goldblatt's on Sunday morning. 2 weeks ago this morning, three teenagers were leaving the area here. Three of our men told them they couldn't leave and brought them back. Now then, we find the parents say that the teenagers were not on our buses. And we thought they were because they're around here with us. And now there's a lawsuit. Now, we never had things like this before. Oh, we've had lawsuits, to be sure. But I mean, I've never known. The 30 years I've been preaching, and 28 years I've been pastoring, I've never known the attacks from... I don't mean that there's a conspiracy. I mean the fact that there never has been as many things that would detract my attention from the $2.5 million and detract our church's attention as there has been in the last few months. For the Vineyard, we've had more bus problems. I've heard you say more about problems and fights than we've ever had. We've had more problems at our house. Our house has been broken into and ransacked in the last few months. You say, are you asking for sympathy? Bless God, not on your life. I don't want any sympathy. Man, you're looking at the happiest fellow in the world. I tell you, I'm as happy as a Mississippi fellow at a Wallingall convention. You don't get any happier than I am. No. But, I mean, it's just one thing after another. Linda and Cindy, 18 and nearly 16. I came home one night, they were trembling. had gone down here on State Street. Linda was going to get her senior pictures. And they got out of the car and walked about a half a block to Bodie's. And on the way back, some men started pursuing them. And they began to run, the men began to run. And they got in the car just 1 second before the men got there. The door was locked. They could have been killed or kidnapped or raped just like that. And as they drove off, they were beating on the window, trying to get to Linda and Cindy. I got home, they were absolutely frightened to death. Never happened before. I mean, deep, call upon the deep. Every day, it seems like, some kind, a lawsuit, or an attack, or a robbery, or vandalism. On and on it goes. I've gotten more angry letters. Not from my people, thank God. We've had more financial problems, though I think we can see the light as far other than this 2.5 million. Thursday morning, I was told to call Dr. Helton. It was an emergency. Picked up the phone. Dr. Helton said Mr. Salee was killed this morning in a car wreck. And my first thought was, when will it stop? When will it stop? Before we got him buried. Before he was buried. Yesterday morning, about 1 o'clock, some hippies who've been bothering us at Hiles Anderson for weeks now came out and burned our bridge down over the little, near the lake there, over the little stream. Our security guards set foot to try to get them. And they got one of our security guards. He was missing all night long. Took him out to a cornfield. Took a gasoline can, hit him over the head with it, knocked him unconscious. He was unconscious the rest of the night. Didn't even wake up till the rain came and aroused him. He got up and groggy, staggered down to the Marathon station on Highway 30. Finally figured out who he was and what he was doing, called the college. Dr. Helton called me. Said he's safe. I said, glory to God. Praise the Lord. We thought he was dead. Maybe being held hostage somewhere. Didn't even have Mr. Salee's body in the grave yet. By the way, young girls, Hiles Anderson students, you can feel secure. You can feel secure. Our deacons met last night and talked 2 hours about being sure you've got young ladies secure. Don't you fret. We're going to take care of you. We've got to have to organize an army and go out there. I'll guarantee you that. Now, it's been that way just like that all along. This past week, 14 things have happened this past week. I wrote them down. That usually only happen once a year, or one of this type a year. 14 have happened. Now, why? Why is it happening? Number one, because God's working around here. Every time I see the devil stick his old smutty face up, I say, glory to God. Listen, these churches, they're closed tonight. You think the devil's there working? No need. I mean, these churches where the kids are on dope, never take an attack for decency. No need for the devil to work. The devil doesn't like Hiles Anderson College. He doesn't like Hammond Baptist High School. He doesn't like Hammond Baptist Grade School. And if he does, we'll change him. I'll find out what he likes and rearrange it so he won't like it. The Bible never tells us to be popular. It says be right. God is working. In the peace of garden, of Eden's garden, Satan came because God was there. When the Israelites were marching toward the land of promise, Satan came because God was there. In heaven, before the creation of the world, Satan rebelled because God was there. When Jesus began his ministry on earth, Satan tempted him. Why? Because God was working. We may as well get used to the fact that the more God does here, the less Satan is going to like it. No battles, no victories. That's one reason. Reason number two. God allows sometimes Satan to buffet us to draw us closer together. I think I can say this truthfully. I do not know if our church has ever been as close together as it is tonight. Boy, you talk about a miracle. We've got everything here from PhDs all the way down to Brother Sully. We got everything here from Mr. America's all the way down to Fisk. Einstein's down to Billings. We have people here from all over America assembled in this place. Did you know more people move to the Calumet region because of the First Baptist Church in Hammond than for any other reason? You know more tourists come to Hammond because of the First Baptist Church than for any other reason? This morning we had less states represented than we've had in 6 months on a Sunday morning. We only had 17 states represented here this morning. Now, it's a miracle. This great melting pot of humanity. Everything from PhDs to the bus kids. Everything from people who have some degree of wealth down to me. Poverty mingle with wealth. Illiteracy mingle with scholarship. Simplicity mingle with profundity. Crudeness mingle with propriety. Littleness mingle with bigness. Here in this one place, tonight in this room, you just name it, it's here. You just talk about any type of person, society, area of society, or financial standing, or educational background, it's here. And yet, miraculously, God has molded this church into a unit that is as sweet a fellowship and as beautiful a fellowship as you'll find anywhere in the world. Oh, we have our disgruntles. We have our folks who gossip, but bless God, there are not many folks that listen to them. And they hurt nobody but themselves. But I'm sure of this. I'm sure I've never known in all of my ministry the day when this church was as unified as it is tonight. And I've never known a church as unified as this church is. Why? Because of problems. They draw folks together. I recall when I was a kid preacher down in Texas, we grew, took a church with 44 people. In six years and 8 months, we had 4,128 people. We had to build. We didn't have, all of our folks were young people. We did not have, we only had one member over 50. The old ladies class was 35 and up. I was 26. But all young couples. We built a new building, seated 2,500 people, about the size of this building on the lower floor, maybe not quite as big. Boy, it's a big thing. Naturally, I watched over the building program. I forgot one thing. One, I forgot to order any fuse. We came up, we raked and scraped every dime we had. We used $12,000. That was a lot of money for us in those days. $12,000. Just a bunch of kids. I didn't have one dime. I wrote a hot check that morning for $300 and put it in the altar. And that morning, our people, young couples, wrote checks for and put money, $27,000 on the altar that day. One of the biggest victories I'd ever known. Next morning, they got up early, went down to the bank, Garland State Bank, across the shopping center across the street from our church. Wanted to get there early so I could borrow the money and cover my check before it came back in. I told the secretary not to turn the offering in until noon. And so I went down to the shopping center early in the morning. Couldn't believe it. It's full of cards. Full of cards. I thought, what's wrong? Gold Blatt's having a sale? What's wrong? Got out of the car, walked up to the bank. It's an hour before the bank was going to open. There's a line from the bank door all the way down past the Oglesby's Jewelers, Plaza Cafeteria, Stern's Lady Shop, Wyatt's Food Store, Skillern's Drug Store. And I looked and saw an hour before the bank opened hundreds of my people. And I got in line and waited my time. We stood there for an hour and sang and cried. It made us, drew us closer together. You know it's true. You know it's true. And God wants us to be close together. Yeah, I told you about this, but I want to hear it myself tonight. I built a building. Beautiful building. For all the money we had, I was the contractor. I drew the plans. The plans consisted of a few lines on a piece of paper. I called a concrete man. And still wanted some pier holes. I was a kid, never built a building for my life. I knew you had to have city. Sorry about that, Mr. Meyer. I didn't know you had to have a building permit. Never heard of one. Nobody tells a Baptist preacher what to do. God gives me my permit. So, I was a general contractor. I needed the money. I was the architect. Finished the building. Had the mayor out. He was going to cut the ribbon. He said, before I cut this ribbon, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say a word about this young pastor. This young man's a brilliant young man. What a brilliant mind that mayor had. He said, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know this, but he said, Reverend Hiles drew the plans for this building. He was the general contractor. With his own hands, he hung the drywall. And that building is still there, and there's still dozens of 4x8 sheets of drywall, and got one nail holding them up. Those folks don't know it tonight. Those poor little nursery kids are overshadowed tonight by one nail holding up an 4x8 piece of drywall. He said, why? Because I was in a hurry, that's why. God pity these little two-nail preachers. Give us a one-nailer. He said, what'd you use for tape and bed? No beds around my church, boys. We finished that building. The mayor said, Hiles laid this tile floor. I went down, never had laid tile floor. I got me some goo. Black goo. I got me some light tan tile. I put about a quarter inch of black goo across that floor. Laid a tile. That's where they got the term chocolate revel. Mayor said, ladies and gentlemen, this young man did this himself. I was standing behind the microphone taking my vows. He said, now, River Hiles, some of us have been talking.
We've been looking around the building. Beautiful. He said, Reverend, what kind of heat do you have in this building? I said, heat. Heat? Yes, he said, Reverend, is it gas or oil or electric heat? We've had a hard time deciding how it's heated. In front of 1,000 people, I said, heat. Heat? Yes, Reverend. What kind of heat? And I said, with all the eloquence of Apollos, William Jennings Bryan, and R.G. Lee, heat. Heat. Next morning, I got a star drill and a hammer, knocked holes in the walls, and put pipes down the walls, and put little radiant heaters. They call those the house pipes. They're there to this day. In fact, I think recently they may have put some drywall around them. You know, in all of that, our people, you know, my deacons, God bless them, they could have crucified me. And honestly, not a court in the land would have indicted them or convicted them. And but they didn't do it. They said he's our preacher. And we're with him. And we're for him. And all over town, folks had laughed about Hiles as a contractor with putting the heat in his building. Now, God brings these things on us. Or allows them to come. And the Lord wants us to be close together. Now, let me say this. God wants us in these trials and battles. God wants us to snuggle up close to each other and love each other like we've never loved each other before. And one of these days, look back on it with sweet memories. And then, I think another reason God is doing it is God wants to, that he wants us to see how he's going to get us out of this mess we're in. I'm sure he's going to do it. 30 years I've served him. Seems like Satan has tried everything. We've had a tornado. My church has had a tornado that destroyed the building. We had a fire here that destroyed two of our buildings not many years ago. And I won't go on listing the things, but for 30 years, it's been one battle after another. Now let me say this, and you know this is true. I'm not really a battler. You know it's true. I love everybody, and you know that. Not a man in the world I don't love. Not a man in the world I'd harm. I'd like to straighten up all the crooked ones. And I hate the devil. And I hate sin. I hate the dirty liquor traffic with a passion. I hate martinis. I hate Bloody Marys. I hate wounded Susies. I hate all of them. I hate the dirty, the pornographic literature. I hate this adult bookstore down here as much as I hate the devil in hell. And I hate that dirty theater on Calumet Street. And I hate the things that are trying to destroy and wreck and ruin our young people. I hate the dirty books that many of our public schools are making our young people have to read. But I don't hate anybody. There's not a man in the world that if he had a flat tonight, I saw him fixing it as I drove home, I'd pray for him. Huh? I'm honest. But it's been worse lately. Now tonight, we're having a little fun because we need to have a little fun. We're laughing tonight because if we don't laugh, we'll cry. And tonight, I just wanted to get you together and let's just roll up our sleeves and say, bless God, like a preacher said one time on the radio. He said, God met with us last night in our service. Thank God. Hallelujah. He said, God was there in mighty power. Praise the Lord. And the devil, he fought us. Bless his holy name. Well, Brother, I'm glad the devil hates the church I pastor. And I'm glad the devil honors us enough by attacking us a little bit. But I want us tonight to stick our tongues out the old boy and say, buddy, you just do what you want to do to us. We're going to stay in this battle, and we're going to see you licked, and we're going to dehorn you before it's all over. Now, we just are. No need to backtrack. No need to quit. No need to fret. Sure, we'll get together and bury our dead and cry. Sure, we'll do it. But while we do it, we'll stand and sing, when the battle's over, we shall wear our crown. Sure, we'll go to the cemetery and lay to rest one of our dearest, and weep while we do, and sing while we weep. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. Stood out there yesterday, rain pouring or peppering down on the little tent. Dear little widow who's here tonight, sitting over here, heartbroken, little four-year-old girl, little Tammy, her daddy gone. Our college students shaken, heartbroken, in our college having to double or triple, what's five times? Quintuple or quintuple or five times triple or something. Our security at the college and so forth. Our deacons had to meet last night. Blessed be God, we can have more fun at a funeral than most people can at a wedding. I said yesterday, the worst day we have here. We'll have more fun than most churches have on their best day. We can stand in the rain and say goodbye to one of our beloved men whom we loved and appreciated, and look up to God with a smile on our face and the tears in our eyes and our hearts broken and rejoicing at the same time, and say, blessed be God, this old grave is going to open pretty soon. Our Lord's going to return, and some golden daybreak Jesus will come. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Now, all I want to say to you tonight, and I'm just talking to you a while, I just want to say, don't faint. I said faint, and I was going to say this isn't, and faint rhymes with faint, so it ain't no time to faint. I'm a poet to the end. No time to faint. Dig on in, boys, and stay with them. Let's stay in the battle. If the going gets rough, we'll just get more ammunition. I mean, we just stay in there. Don't faint. This is the house. Just discouraged. Look, this is no time to faint. Did you ever notice in time? Everybody faints at the wrong time. You ever notice that? Boy gets the nail in his foot. Comes running in. There's a nail stuck a half inch in his foot. Nail hanging out of his foot. Mama! The dad says, his wife, you hold the foot and I'll get the pliers and we'll get the nail out. And what does she do? Now you got two patients. Nobody ever faints at the right time. Good night, you're going to faint, plant it later. No time to faint. It's no time to criticize. It's no time to cause problems within. It's no time to quit giving. It's no time to bicker. No time to wag your tongue and be critical. No time. It's time to stand up and be of good courage and have strength in the Lord. Amen. Here comes a mouse across the room. Husband grabs something to get him. Runs across to get the mouse. What happens? Stumbles over the dead body of his wife that just fainted. It's no time to faint. Wait till the mouse is caught and dead, and then faint away. Husband gets his finger electric fan. Says to his wife, look at there. She goes, whoo! Honey, don't faint now. Don't faint now. The guy puts a gun in your rib. One move out of you and you're going to have it. What happens? She goes dead away. Dead away. No time to faint. He said, I don't believe in all this laughing in church. You cry as much as we do, you'd believe in it. You really would. You see, we're in a battle against the devil. We don't come here to have a little ethereal, spooky kind of a so-called worship service. We come here to get strength to go out and live the rest of the week. And the truth is, Stay in the battle. Don't faint. Don't quit. See this man right here? Another Fisk. One day he was called to the hospital for somebody wanted dead. God's man gets in his car. One of the largest of our day. Takes off for St. Margaret's Hospital. These folks, here comes the man of God. He walks in the room. What does he do? Faint. Faint. Right? God's man. Huh? Yes, I knew that. I got my scouts all over the country, boy. Those nuns up at St. Margaret's send me messages every day, boy. What goes on? Aren't you glad we can sit here tonight with all the burdens we have to bear and laugh and enjoy, and as a family, I look out tonight and you say, with the house, why do you preach like this? So occasionally, I don't know why I do. I looked out a while ago and I saw Mrs. Salih like that. That's why. If you knew how many college students we have, I don't know how they're going to pay their bills this week. They can come here for a while, find out there's a God in heaven and be reminded we're going to stay in the battle. And we're not going to turn back, and we're going to stay with it, and we're going to win! You knew how many people in this room tonight have cancer. It'd break your heart. They need to come somewhere where they find out there's a living God in heaven, and that all the oppression of Satan, no matter how hard it gets or how heavy the Lord gets, there's victory in Jesus. They need to find that out. Aunt Lou sitting out there, the only boy she's ever had, lying a corpse tonight with a smile on her face. Brother, the kind of Christianity I have doesn't make you happy when you feel good. It makes you happy if you feel bad or good. People oftentimes say to me, ask me, how can you take it? I mean, how I take it. My happiness is not determined by external conditions. It's by what's right in here makes me happy. I'm happy when it's sunshine and happy when it's cloudy. I'm happy when I'm rich. No, I don't know about that. I never have had... I'm happy when I got money. I'm happy when I don't. I feel sorry for you people. It's got to be just right. Just right. Somebody said we have two seasons here in Hammond, August and winter. You're only happy in August, that's all. August. Don't turn you back. Don't turn you back. You know why? There's no armor in the Bible given for a Christian's hind parts. No armor. God gives you a breastplate, a helmet, shield, but nothing for the back. And brother, the minute you turn your back and start to run, the devil's got you. He'll get you. There's no armor for the back. None whatsoever. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. No place to stop. I'm going to tell you tonight, probably what I shouldn't tell you. We've had a tough week. All of us have. It's been a cloud hanging over us all week. For a few of us, it's been sort of cloudy for a long time. But I felt like yesterday at the funeral, our folks would break if we didn't sing some victory songs. I felt like our church would just crack if we didn't sing victory in Jesus. And I felt like this morning we just sort of needed to get together and love each other. And I felt like tonight we ought to just get together and reaffirm the fact that we're not going to turn back. We're just not going to turn back. No, sir. Brother Vineyard and I have something in common.
we come from the greatest state that was once the greatest country in the history of the world. Rhode Island. We come from Texas. There's a reason, Dr. Rice and I were talking the other day, there's a reason why Texans are a little proud. A little proud, nothing, very proud. You see, Texas was once a country. Really. Texas didn't come into the Union. I mean, this is history now. Texas came to the Union by a treaty. We had our own president, our own flag. You ask any Texan what the state flower is, he'll tell you. You ask any Texan what the flag is, he'll tell you. I mean, because there's a certain kind of a loyalty in Texas. We squat for the Star Spangled Banner, stand up for the eyes of Texas. But anyway, we do enjoy our heritage. We're talking a while ago, down in San Antonio, Texas, a little place called the Alamo. I've been there many times. A little place called the Alamo. They fought and they fought and they fought. And finally, 187 men were left in that little Alamo. There was no way to get out. They decided to discuss whether to surrender or fight to the death. And there was a cripple there that day. Bowie, wasn't it? James Bowie. The cripple there. They drew a line. And they said, those that want to surrender, just stay across where you are. Those that want to fight, to the death, step across that line. One stepped across. And one by one, they all stepped across. Except James Bowie, and he was an invalid cripple. James Bowie looked at the men on the other side of the line, and he said, carry me across the line. And they took that great old soldier, carried him across the line. They didn't dip their sails. They didn't wave the flag of surrender. They'd rather die than turn back. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. I have a little more hope tonight than I had this time last week. But I'm convinced that by some way we're going to hand a check to the Capuchin Seminary of $2,500,000 in 60 days. We have less than a half million right now in cash. Less than a half million. There's two or three things I know tonight. I know I'm saved. I know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Of that I'm sure. I know God called me to be a preacher. I know that. I know God called me to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond in 1959. I know that. And I know that God's in this place. Amen. You may laugh at us a little bit if you want to. Call us a little bit wild if you want to. You can say, "Hiles worshipers," if you want. Say what you want to say. But how are you going to account for all the dope heads that came here and got on their face before God and now are decent citizens? How are you going to account for the fact that Hiles Anderson College, don't worry about any riots at all? How are you going to account for the fact that we don't have to have policemen walking the halls in Hammond Baptist High School?
How are you going to account for the fact that companies all over this area would rather hire Hiles Anderson students than any other type of humanity in this area? How are you going to account for that? How are you going to account for it? How are you going to account for all these men, hundreds of them in this room right now, who 10 years ago, no good to society, no good to their families, breaking up their salaries, beating their wives, destroying their children, wrecking their homes. And now they sit on the deacon board, many of them of First Baptist Church of Hammond. How are you going to account for that? How are you going to account this man right here? Mr. Fisk. Fainter. 16 years ago when I walked in this church, this man was in taverns at Calumet City. Right? Life was about gone. Came to our church. Got saved. Called to preach.
Amen.
Now one of the finest helpers you'll ever find anywhere in the world. Assistant pastor here for years. Account for that, critic. Account for it. Account for the next guy here. Harold Sullivan, on our staff here, owned 3 taverns within walking distance where I'm standing right now, 15 years ago. Stumbled one night to our rescue mission. Had wasted his money, wasted a fortune. Been a bartender 20 years. God saved him. Now he's got a wife and a lovely family. Explain that. You jokes do that? Few funny stories do that? Huh? No, sir. God is in this place. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You say, I'm visitor, and I don't pick like this. You know that most of the folks here didn't either the first time they came? I've got the taste you hate 3 times a week. Most of them didn't. A long time after you visitors are gone home tonight, you're going to be wondering what really they got down at that church. What brings all these people? Huh? You say, I know what it is. Those funny stories. I got 1,000 folks that have heard everything I've said tonight 100 times. Oh, shut up. You don't know when to say it, just sit there. And tonight, while you've been laughing because you haven't heard it before, they've been going, is in this place.
Amen.
What a lot of you folks have been looking for and don't know it, you will find it right at this altar.
Right.
At this altar. And so I just wanted to, I was going to have an old-fashioned service tonight. I just felt like I wanted to see you in the day, in the light instead of the dark. I just felt like I wanted to stand up and say, folks, the old ship's been rocking. But I talked to the captain a while ago.
Amen.
And he's still up there at the helm. He's got his hand on the old stick.
Amen.
Years ago, I think it's Mr. Moody, was on a ship going over to Europe. A storm came. Everybody was scared to death. Water splashing on the ship. The old ship up to go under, it seemed. Folks screaming and frantically crying for mercy and praying to God. One little boy sat there just as calm as could be. Mr. Moody saw that little boy and wondered why he wasn't afraid. Even the giant Moody was afraid. All
all people afraid, but one little boy. Mr. Moody walked up and said, "Son, why aren't you afraid?" The little boy said, "Mister, my daddy's the captain of this ship." And I went up to look at him. I looked at his face, and his face was smiling. "And we're going to make it, because my daddy is running this ship." I just want to tell you tonight, I talked to our daddy a while ago, and everything's going to be all right. Yeah, we may get thrown for a loss a little bit. We've got three more downs yet. See, I mean, we may get penalized for being offside, more like us, unnecessary roughness. Boy, I love my preaching. But you know, we may get penalized, but the game's not over yet. And we're going to make it. And our Father's in control. Say, well, why was Mr. Salee taken? I told the college this. We needed somebody up there in heaven to talk to God full time, look him in the face and nag him about this $2.5 million. Dr. Billings, lead the choir and sing, "And Everything's All Right in My Father's House." Just don't turn to it. Just stand up and sing it. Just without a piano. Just start singing. Just sing it. Come on.
Sing it. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right. In my Father's house. For His joy.
Jesus is the way. Sing it.
Jesus is the way to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. There's joy, joy.
Come and go with me. Ready?
Come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house, to my Father's house, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy.
Mr. Lee, stand up and sing just the chorus for us, could you? Everything's all right in my Father's house. Sing it.
Yes. Sing it with her.
Everything's all right in my Father's house, for there's joy, joy, joy.
God's still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still on the throne. And when the kingdoms of this world have crumbled, and Mussolini's have gone to the, Hitler's have gone to the place that they prepared to go, and when the Alexander the Great's thrown in names in history books, when Khrushchev's are simply faint memories in the minds of some who have lived longer than others, our Father will still be on the throne. Let us pray. Dear Lord, what could cause a little lady whose husband was put in the grave yesterday stand up and sing like that other than Jesus? What could cause a church that's gone through what we've been through in the last few days to sing like we've sung tonight other than Jesus?